Two, one. Hi, everyone. I am Penny Melquist. Welcome to Sisterhood Smarts. We are here with my two favorite friends, Faith and Shaz. How are you guys?
Hey, Penny, we're cool. Enjoying the birdies, as you can hear. You know?
Yeah, nice. Penny, we're good. We're enjoying our great. Champagne as well, so.
Nice. And you guys are in the same location, right? So
Yeah. Oh, it's because great. The weather is so nice and everything is just nice and easy. So yeah.
Yeah. So are you guys on vacation or something?
No, I'm not. This is just my day off. Vacation.
We're just You're making just hanging out the together. Long days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. For those listening, I don't know if you know, but Faith and Shaz have been friends for how long?
How long, Fade?
Gosh, I don't know. 10 years?
Yeah, I was going to say over 10 years.
Wow. That's great.
That means I'm a better friend than you are.
She makes the rules. I love it. It's just, yeah, so indicative that you guys are friends. That's awesome. That's no. Crazy. Well, you know, we were thinking about this week's topic, and it's been on my mind a lot lately. And, you know, it's short and sweet, and it's do what you love. And I know this can be challenging for people because realistically, most of the world, we have to work to survive. And that doesn't necessarily mean when we work that we do what we love. But there are things that we love to do that we're not getting paid for. And so I thought it would be good to be mindful of, you know, doing what you love. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you should be paid for it. You could have a really terrible job, something that you don't like. But it is really important to focus on doing what you love. And if those two make a perfect marriage, meaning you end up getting paid to do what you love, that is like the perfect situation. And I think a lot of people strive to do that and it doesn't necessarily happen. But I just thought it's been on my mind a lot lately in conversations that I've had with people. And I thought it'd be good to talk about it. What do you guys think?
I think it's actually very good because I think it's something that it's like a subject that... I think people are dealing with like in, you know, everyday life, and maybe a lot of people, you know, they're confused or they don't know what do they do to, I mean, what things they do, I mean, to do or to love to do, and they don't know how to do it, or maybe they're confused. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very important. And a lot of times people stop doing what they love to do because, like you said, Penny, they think they need to be compensated for it. Mm, and I know people who are beautiful singers and, you know, they'll be visiting and you can hear them, really channeling Whitney Houston in the shower. And you're like, oh, my goodness, you have such a beautiful voice. And she's like, oh, come on, stop it. You know, I would never sing in public. And I'm thinking... Yeah. But you know, your gift is actually there to be shared. And so this thing that people think I should only, you know, share my gifts or do what I love and all that good stuff, only if I'm compensated, I think is a very wrong messaging, because you should really do what you love, you know, and the African saying says, if you can talk, you can sing, if you can walk, you can dance. And that's it. Mm. You know,
like
if you
that.
Can walk, you can dance. And so this idea, oh, you know, you're not a good dancer. Well, she can walk. And that includes people with disabilities, meaning also not walking, but you can move. If you can move, you can dance. You can talk, you can sing. And so we all can sing. We all can create. We all can dance. It's just you dancing to your beat, to your own unique rhythm. And that's enough. And so I really like this topic because it's important to remind people that, you know, if you're compensated, well, good. It's a bonus. But really, don't sell yourself short because you wait for someone to validate you as a good singer, as you, whatever you think, you know, a carpenter or a gardener or whatever. You know, that's your own rhythm. You know, it's your own creativity. So just do it and enjoy it. Even if you enjoy it by yourself and nobody claps for you, it's absolutely fine. You're sharing it with the birds.
Yeah, true. I'm always amazed, you know, if I'm listening to somebody talk or watching some segment online where somebody is, you know, they're a famous person or not famous, and they say, I can't believe they're paying me to do what I love. And that person has followed their passion and it has ended up, you know, being profitable for them. And I think, wow, that is really incredible. Imagine if you could be paid to do what you love. It's like you don't have a job. And people say this over and over. You know, I've been thinking about this, you know, with COVID, you know, a lot of the countries opening up and there are help wanted signs everywhere. And a lot of the restaurant hotel industry is having a hard time filling those positions. So, you know, they're having to stay, not function in at their, you know, pre-COVID level. And there's this conversation of, we can't get people to come work for us. And I can't help but think, you know, we all know examples of how people can be treated in restaurants. And, you know, maybe those people don't want to go back to those really terrible jobs, not because of the employers, but just because of, you know, a lot of the terrible stuff that they have to go through, the hard work and dealing with the, you know, terrible customers and low pay. And I know it's a generalization, but it just made me, I'm just kind of, it's been in the back of my mind a lot lately, in, you know, across the globe, people, you know, maybe reevaluating what they want to do for the rest of their life.
Yeah. And I think also they're realizing that, you know, some people are saying, you know, I've never had so much peace in my life. I've never slept so peaceful. Just now I don't have to wake up stressed and go to a really bad job. And so when you're seeing the immediate results, people, I think people did not realize just how much, how intense their job was and just how much damage it was doing to their well-being. And now they're seeing that maybe they're better husbands, better wives, smiling smiling more to their children, you know, learning how to bake and do all these things. And I'm saying to those who have really used COVID to really rediscover themselves and celebrate the gift, in quote unquote, you know, every curse is a gift also, depending how you look at it. And so to the companies that are looking, the restaurants especially, you're right, Penny, some customers are just so mean, and I'm thinking it's not necessary, you know, to be that way. And on top of that, now the restaurant owners are realizing that we have to reevaluate the food industry, hospitality industry, what we, you know, what we are selling and what we are demanding of our customers and our clients. And maybe there has to be a certain protocol. Or maybe not a protocol. I'm not maybe making it too harsh, but I think they're also thinking back and saying, when they did these interviews, people said, oh, you know, this is my dream job, you know, whatever, to get the job. And now the actions, you know, it's not what you say, it's what you do. So now we are seeing the actions. They don't want to be there. They'd rather be unemployed, you know, even downsize and live in a smaller apartment, you know, sell their car, but just don't want to be there. You know, and this is, this should tell you a lot. You know, it's not it's not that you're in a nice place, you know. But we're learning, you know, people are showing us that something is broken. No matter how much you want to judge them or say, oh, these people, they're lazy or they're this, or, you know, they want a handout. I think it was AOC or somebody, maybe it was just somebody made, you know, people put all kinds of things and you don't know who really said what, but somebody shared something with me where AOC, it was AOC's face and somebody, and she said, when you bail out the banks, you say it's good for the economy, and she, a whole list of when you bail out, when you bail out, but when you help the homeless, the poor and the hungry, you say it's a handout.
That's a very good point.
That was very interesting.
Yeah.
The ones who needed the most, you call them a handout. Welfare queen, and she's a single mother with three children working two jobs and can't pay your crazy rent, but the banks who actually made wrong choices, poor management, whatever decisions they made that were wrong that put them in that situation, you call it good for the economy, boosting the economy, you know, balancing the bottom line. So it was quite interesting how perspectives, you know,
I mean, that's true, you don't think about that, but the vocabulary is totally different. Huh, that's a very interesting point. And, you know, back to the restaurant workers, you know, they're on their feet all day long. You know, they're going back and forth, and usually it's like minimum wage, and it's just, oh man, I just, I feel for both sides because they're needed.
And Penny, with a mask money, but all day, with a mask all day.
Oh yeah, yeah,
This is one thing I told my sister. I don't care if they're not smiling, if they're mean to me. You try wearing a mask the whole day in that heat in a building. mm-hmm. serving customers the whole day and tell me if you're going to be smiling after 9 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. This weekend I was inside and it was for like 30 minutes. I was wearing a mask because I still work at home, so I don't have to wear a mask unless I go out. And that's usually a short amount of time, but it was for 30 minutes and I thought I was going to die. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hot. Mm. I can't take it. Yes. I need some water. And, you know, we're looking at
it's teachers, true.
Healthcare professionals, restaurant people, all of these people that are out in the world every single day providing services that are essential.
Yeah,
that's, you know, crazy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I mean, I also work in a place that I have to wear a mask, but I mean, we can take them off when we don't have any customer. And after the, you know, the lockdown and they actually try to open up again. The thing is that we also have some customers that are so pissed all the time, all day long. And it's just not to, you know, to take to handle because it's just an attitude that you just come in with. And then, you know, I mean, I'd like to return this. I went up to this department. They didn't want to accept this, or they were, you know, having a bad behavior towards me. It was just kind of like that the person up there, the service they were supposed to give me, it was kind of like they were just tired of their job, you know, like, and then the complaint comes down to the customer service. And then, you know, and already the customer is already, you know, in the, you know, higher red, you know, thing. So when they already come in the customer service, it's so hard sometimes to just help them because they already like done. And I think it's, you know, they have to wear the mask. And they wait and wait and wait and wait. And how long can you wait for, you know, like when you're walking inside, you know, in a mall and in a store, and then wearing, you know, like now we talked about, you know, with the COVID, with the mask, and then, you know, and exactly, it is so hard. When I was talking with one of the employees that actually works in a beauty hall, and she said, like, I can't take it. I get tested like every day. I mean, not every day, sorry, but every week or so. And then, and she actually lives in Sweden, but because of her boyfriend, now they, you know, now actually she moved to Denmark, and she said, in Sweden, it's a different situation there. In Sweden, you don't have to wear a mask. In Sweden, you don't have to do the things that you have to do in here in Denmark. So the thing, her point was like, well, I mean, why can't we? Because like she has to stand on her feet. Like sometimes she has a shift for 10 hours. Some days she has a shift for 11 yeah. hours. And this girl, she has like the beautiful face, you know, and everything. Such a beautiful smile. And she has to wear the mask. And I met her in the restroom. And then she said, like, I didn't see her. And then, you know, she said, hey. And I was like, hey, what's up? And then she was, you know, then she was trying to explain all of this thing to me in the restroom because she didn't want to go back to her department. And
yeah,
she was like so fed up. Like she said, what if we get tested and we've not like we're not negative, why are we supposed to wear this mask all the time? And I'd ask her, like, have you tried other masks? She said, yeah, but it's just so hard, you know, standing up there with all the spots you have. And then, you know, I mean, there should be something. And it is really like, it is like a hell. It is a hell for them, you know, as an employee to work. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, immediately I take off my mask when I don't have any customers. Sometimes when nobody looks at me, I just take it down a little bit and then I take it up when somebody comes. But then in our department is like, if it only us, then we can actually take it off because we only like two people at a time at work, two to three people.
Yeah.
And we only six people in that department. It's just a very small department. But the thing is that it's just like in general, you know, like you have a lot of complaints, you know, through the customer, and it all comes from different departments. And I think it's because, you know, like those employees, you know, they have to wear a mask. They can take it, like you're saying, but they still like work with a minimum wage. And then, you know, yeah. And they just, you know, they need to do the job. So yeah. I think it's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you wonder,
when you
like,
take the train here, you have to wear a mask.
Yeah, that's just, yeah. And you know, you can't help
but
wonder.
Yeah, you have to wear a mask when you're like in the public, you know, in the public.
Mm-hmm.
In the train.
Yeah,
in the train. Huh?
Yeah, if people were nicer, you know, in those industries, the service industries, maybe people would love to, you know, would love what they do more.
Right.
But yeah, kudos to those people that deal with the people that, You know, a lot of those people, they were mean before the pandemic and they're going to be mean after the pandemic. And that's just,
yeah, because I can see, of course, we also have in between, you know, like some customers, they said, you know, I'm we're so happy you were open again. Everything is opened up, you know, like, you know, people, you know, different people, different opinions. But that's just like in general, like you also have a lot of complaints. And I think it's all due to this, the whole situation. We don't, I mean, we actually have, or, you know, have had like the last year, you know, the past last year or so. Unfortunately, I think, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see how everything's going to develop. But I think, again, I think people are, you know, are looking at it differently. If we're talking about the whole COVID situation and then, you know, do the things that you love, or, you know, I think it's, yeah, a lot of people, they also lost their job.
Yeah,
during the pandemic, you know, this COVID. So again, if you're doing, you know, if you have done something for so many years, it's also hard now again to go ahead and, you know, pull up your CV, do your, you know, application and everything, and mm-hmm. you know, and try to look for another job.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also need to think about your age as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. who wants to, you know, hire you again? You're not like 20 years old anymore. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we know that predominantly, you know, like women, as we age, it gets harder and harder to get new jobs.
It is. Whereas, it's, you know, it's
the
I guess.
Inverse for men. You know, you're seen as distinguished and intellectual, and, you know, women, as we age, you know, a lot of societies view us, depending on your society, but, you know, view us as yeah, well, whatever. You know, that's pretty stressful if you're a woman that, you know, not 20 years old and you're looking to change your career. It can be, you know, pretty challenging, all of those biases that are built in, whether people know it or not. I remember a woman who was, oh gosh, she must have been in her 60s or so at the time. This was several years ago. She's like, you know, Penny, it's really interesting when you see the difference how people respond to you when you're a young woman. You know, they see you as a potential mate or friend or whatever. But as you age, you become invisible to people. You know, it's just this.
It's true.
It's terrible, you know, so.
It is terrible.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's like a weird society, cultural thing. And,
yeah, but there will be consequences for that kind of mindset and thinking, because what goes up must come down. That's just the way it is, you know. And so, you know, when I always look at how people treat others, I'm always like, you know, you're doing that to yourself, because we're all connected, and everything you do to others, you kind of do it to yourself. Even when you think, oh, you know, I'm winning, I'm being so mean, and I'm winning. No, you're not, because you've actually done something to yourself. And, you know, talking about women in their 60s or even less, younger, and who become invisible, they're not seen as a suitable mate or wherever, love partner, or, you know, interested in the job market. But guess what? The men are so-called seen as, you know, the way you describe them, Penny, but guess what? They die earlier than women.
Mm-hmm.
She gets to live longer. She gets to enjoy her grandchildren longer. She mm-hmm. gets to see maybe 3-4 generations. So mm-hmm. everything you do to others, you do to yourself. So while you think you're winning, statistics show globally, across all cultures, religions and everything, geographical region, everything, women live longer. Mm-hmm. Even though you're beating them down, you're subjugating them, and you're making them feel like they're less than what they are, and you're doing all these different things to really break her, yet she's still living longer. Now, imagine if you treated women well. You loved them, you cared them, you made them feel valuable, you respected them, you compensated them, all the good the things you should do right. Imagine, maybe men, you would live longer. And maybe she would live even longer and healthier. So we don't know, because, you know, people are stubborn and they want to do what they know. But I have seen, we've seen this movie, you know, so enjoy what you call being vibrant, man, because you're not going to enjoy it for long. Sorry to put it that way, but I'm just saying that what you do to others, you do to yourself.
Yeah.
And you will not do very well disrespecting your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Penny could be your mother. Sha could be your mother. Faith could be your mother. We're all your mothers. Because that is just how we are. We are all connected. That's why I try to tell people, be very, very careful. Even when you point a finger and you say, you know, I'm a vegetarian, you eat meat, I'm better than you. You're doing it to yourself. Because, you know, something as simple as that, when you say, you know, I love animals, I wouldn't kill an animal, but plants are alive and well too. Alive and well. You shouldn't kill them as well. You know, and that just shows everything we do. I think we should just show gratitude, appreciation, and respect, because everything we do is not just done from nowhere. Whether you're a vegetarian or you eat meat, I say, give thanks for this life force that you are consuming to sustain your life. Whatever it is, salad, don't just plunk it and yank, oh, it's just a vegetable. No, it's alive and well. You know, plants dance and they listen to music and they respond to so many different things, you know. And there are some plants that are carnivorous too. So I'm just saying that to say that, you know, when you talk about men and how they treat women, it is true. You know, I've even had women in their late 40s say, oh, you know, I'll never meet anyone. I'm an old cow. I said, how dare you? With all the wisdom and knowledge you have, that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not an old cow.
Yeah.
But the language has been used so much that women are even embracing negative talk.
Yeah. And I'm like, how dare you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do it. Reject it. Yeah. You know, reject it. You're wise. And, you know, a woman, you know, told me, oh, you know, Faith, I'm in my 40s. I can never have children. So my sister got her child when she was 45. The easiest pregnancy she had. Even more easier than when she gave birth in her 30s. I said, don't listen. Don't listen to what they tell you. Don't listen. Janet Jackson showed you she gave birth in her 50s. Oh, but she has money. No, but she's a woman. You are not an old cow. You know, focus on what you're seeing. Other women are showing you the blueprint. That's it. You are not an old cow. You are, you know, they don't want to compensate you. They're doing it to themselves. You know, when you do to others, you do to yourself. You know, as you point the finger to the woman and tell her just how useless she is, there are three fingers pointing back to you. That's an African proverb. When you point one finger, three are pointing back to you. So, yeah, so I always tell women, you can give birth in your 50s, in your 60s. You can meet amazing partners in your mature ages. And it's so many women have done it. But they don't show you these women. They don't celebrate these women. They show you the young woman, 20s. Oh, you know, look at her beauty, youth, beauty and youth. So you think that this is not it. My sister gave birth at 45. Easy breezy.
Yeah. And you make me think about, you know, when you're talking about men not living as long as women, and then I have the comment of, you know, they die, but they're a lot richer than women because we know pay equity. Just imagine we know that financial stress, work stress, life stress, all of those things impact your health and well-being, right? So just imagine if we were to be paid and have equitable situations as men, how much longer we would live, right? Because we know that flat out money is a big stressor for women, and we know that we don't get paid the same amount. So it just made me think about, ooh, you know, could we live to be, you know, 120 if we got paid the same amount?
Yeah. And this, also not the mental stress and the language, so many things. There's money, there's ideology, there's beauty image. The cosmetic angel surgery is built for women mostly. Cosmetics for women cost 10 times what the men pay for their deodorant and makeup and everything. So imagine if even those small things were fair, we would live to be 100, maybe 200 years and have more money in the bag.
Yeah. And the economy would be stronger, and it's just all of these things. It's just,
sanitary products are called luxury.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting when you have these conversations. I had some with some friends of mine the other day about money and equity. And, you know, everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. This is not a hidden secret. Men don't think it's really real. You know, a lot of the ones that I've talked to are like, come on, what are you talking about? But when you start having conversations with women, you're like, you know, you see it. Everybody, all of these women, you know, they know it. They know that there's inequity. And it's just, ugh, it's one of these things that is just, it's so ridiculous. It just frustrates me greatly. It impacts, you know, the health and well-being and longevity of women. So it's just, ugh, it's one of those things that it's just absurd.
Mm. But I also think, you know, in general, like women, they can handle so many other better stuff than men. I mean, it's like when you tell men to do something, they're like, oh, you know, and then if you tell them like do two or three or four stuff they have to do, it's like, oh, they can do it. And then they tell us that we are not very good at, you know, multitask.
Yeah.
So it's just like, but I think actually women are really good at it. But comparing to men, they cannot handle so many things. In they say something in Danish, like when you have a lot of, you know, like ball in your hand, like
ball i luften.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like you're juggling.
Yeah, you're juggling balls. With so many balls, you know, like, you know, in your hand, like, you know, like a tennis ball or whatever, you know. But then but I don't think men in general, they're very good at that. They need to, you know, like you have to tell them one, you know, one thing at a time, and then they can do it. I haven't seen so many men that can do stuff, you know, like even at the workplace. I mean, in a job, or even my husband, he's just like, you know, they always need to complain about something. Of course, there's also, they're good with kids though. That's another thing. But you know, but other stuff, then you have to tell them, because then it's like, okay, can you go and do the grocery? Yeah, can you text me? Then I text him. Then when he gets home, then there is always something that is missing. Or, you know, I'm just like, that's weird. He said, well, you didn't say that. But I said, I told you that before you went out. And then he said, but it wasn't on the list. But doesn't matter, it wasn't on the list. Can you just remember it? Like one or two things. And it's so like, you know, it's actually so annoying and so frustrating, because then I'll be like, then I have to go out anyways later and do the grocery thing, you know. And then you'd be like, no, now you're being ridiculous. Why do you need to go out and do it? Because I said, because you missed something, and because you didn't pay attention. Yeah.
On,
and
dude,
then he's like, when I tell you something, you don't pay attention. I said, I do pay attention. Maybe it wasn't interesting. That's why maybe I didn't pay attention to it. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, actually it's just, you know, I just think
and generally, a whole fight ensues.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, it's just like in general, like I don't think men, they can handle too many things in the same, you know, on the same, you know, same time. I don't think so. I think we women are much better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And to do the things also, I mean, I'm telling you, Penny, at my place, at my home personally, when I have to do something, I know I have to do this and this and this and this. When I, you know, when, you know, like today I had some stuff outside, and I wanted to do some things at home as well. And I was like, shit, can I make it, you know, with the timing? And I was also a little bit tired. And then I was like, no, I need to do it. And I did it. But then, you know, when I don't have the, you know, the kids at home or the husband at home, I know what to do. And what I have to do is I'm done in about like a couple of, I mean, maybe 1 or 2 hours. I mean, it's really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're super efficient.
I'm super efficient. That's what I am.
Mm-hmm. So I've got questions for each.
No, but
of
I
you.
Am actually, when it comes to that. But then, you know.
Oh,
of the
I
day,
believe it.
What?
I believe it.
No, but I just think it's just general. I just think it's just the women. I think it's the women thing. We have it in us.
Mm-hmm.
Even Faith, if she wants to paint her house today, she can just go ahead and do it. Then she might not going to be done today, but you might going to be done tomorrow or the day after.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah, super efficient.
Super efficient. So I just think, you know, men, they're kind of like, I don't know. You know, I don't, too many breaks. Too many coffee breaks.
Yeah. So here's my question for each of you, since mm-hmm. I think we probably have 10, maybe 15 minutes left.
Okay.
What advice would you give to your best friend about doing what you love?
I didn't get that.
What advice to your best friend to do what she
loves? Yeah, if you were having a conversation with a friend and they were frustrated and, you know, you're trying to, you know, encourage them, what advice would you give them about doing what you love?
I know Fish is very good at that.
So you can let. Thank you so much.
Faith is going to say something that her grandma said, I bet.
No, I don't. Actually, I didn't think, but I know I should think. Yeah, I can't think. But no.
We love your grandma.
I know. She's so amazing. Yeah, I can't think of it. Now you made me start thinking of something she would have said, but I'm not there today. I think I would tell her, you know, get a big piece of paper, you know, like a huge piece of paper, and then write down everything you like to do, you don't like to do, you wish you could do, you kind of like, you know, just put it all down. And then randomly pick one that you want to do a week, and then do it. Whether you don't think of doing it to perfection, don't think of criticizing it or judging it, don't think of who will like it, who's going to tell you it's good or bad, whatever. Just think of, this is the one I'm going to do this week, and just do it. And then don't judge it, don't look at it, don't criticize it, don't analyze it, just do it to enjoy it. So if you say, I want to paint, just paint, you know, without limitation, and then just enjoy the painter. And then next week, pick something else and go through the whole, everything you put on your beautiful piece of paper. If it takes you a month, fine. And then from all the things, once you've done everything on that piece of paper, you now start to narrow it down and see, which ones did I enjoy the most? And then make a new piece of paper with the things that you enjoyed and you love to do, and now start doing those more frequently. That's what I would suggest. There's no rush. It's your life. You know, yeah. There's no rush. You have, you know, women, we are living till 200 years. So you have all that time. So don't rush through a huge piece of paper, and then discover the things you like. Because why am I saying this? Because sometimes there are things that we've never done and we never know if we would enjoy it. That's why I'm saying that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are things that I thought, oh my God, I didn't even know I could do that really well. But, you know, I'm doing it so well. And I just by trying it. And people are like, oh my God, that is so cool. So just write everything, what you would wish to, what you would discover, anything. Put everything that comes to mind, you like, you don't like, never tried, all that kind of stuff. And then do it all, because there's discovery in that. And then make a new list of the things you really enjoyed and loved to do. And then just spend more time not doing those. Yeah, that's my recommendation. Yeah. And take your time, weeks, months, years, it doesn't matter. That's my two cents.
I really like that.
That was actually very good. And I also would say that I think that's really good, because, you know, I think what Faith said is that if you do it like that, you will also, you know, realize that the things you maybe always thought that you were interested in, or you didn't like, or it could motivate you, maybe at the time when you try those things, then you will start to see, okay, what is it exactly is it that you actually like now? Because you tried it, you know, you tried the stuff that, you know, you write everything down, and then, because, you know, sometimes you have back of your head that, oh, I'm not going to do this because I know definitely I wouldn't like this, or, you know, I'm not interested in this, or, you know, so I think definitely. And then, you know, having friends that, you know, like, always, you know, makes you in a good mood, cheer you up, you know, always, you know, when you call a friend, and then you always talk to a friend. Maybe if you haven't seen a friend for a long time, and you always call that friend, and then you talk to that friend like it was yesterday that you saw that friend, that also, you know, is a good, I mean, that, you know, it's a real friendship as well. You know what I mean? That you haven't missed anything, or maybe you have missed some, you know, but it's not like, oh my God. So, you know, I know some people that, you know, I mean, they have good friends, and maybe they haven't seen them for a long time, but still when they pick up that phone, or when they write, it's like that, you know, it was like that we saw each other yesterday, and then, you know, we can still just, you know, continue our conversation where we left off. Yeah. So that was my thing.
Wow. Are you there? That's really good. Yeah, I'm totally here. I'm listening to what you guys are saying.
You were just writing it down.
No, I should have. Well, now that we're recording this, I can go back to it. But no, those are really good things, because, you know, it's just, it's nice to kind of have a strategy to get somewhere. You know, like if, you know, my dream is I'm going to go to Africa or whatever. But if I don't really have sort of a plan to get there, it's kind of doesn't mean anything, right? And so you guys
have totally agreed with that.
Tangible ways to, you know, do what you love. And so I really like that. I really like both of your responses. And, you know, it makes me think about a friend of mine many, many years ago, a colleague, and we became friends. She said to me one time, like, it was really stressful at work. And she said, Penny, it's really important to work to live and not live to work. And so it's kind of always been running in the back of my mind where, you know, it's important to work, but you also have to have balance. And to me, having that balance is, you know, if you don't love what you do for a living, you need to make sure to fold into your life those things that you love to do. And a lot of people tend to cut those out because they have so much work. But, you know, when we talk about work-life balance and mental health and all of the things that we've discussed and seen over the past year, we really do need to incorporate those things that bring us joy. We might not ever get paid for them, but, you know, it, like you guys both have said, it really can depend on what brings you joy and what you want to do that makes you happy. And, you know, if you don't really have an idea, it would be good to ask your friend, like, you know, what do you see that makes me happy? Now that sounds kind of corny, but lots of times if you, you know, ask your friends, they'll be like, God, I really noticed this makes you so happy. Gardening makes you happy. Traveling makes you happy. Riding your bike, you know, all of these different things. And you might not have tuned in to those are the kinds of things that make you happy. You might just be like, oh, I like to do this. I like to do that. But it's really important to acknowledge and recognize the things that make you happy. And Faith, you brought up a really good point, is that these do change over time, right? New experiences might show you, oh, I really don't ever want to do that again. Or they might be like, oh my God, I think this might be my passion. And so, you know, whatever you do in your personal life, in your work life, it's important to have a balance of both. Things that you love to do, and the things that you have to do in order for your, you know, to live, you know, pay the bills, exist, all of these things. And so, yeah, it's just, it's interesting conversation, because I think, you know, pre-COVID, a lot of us were just like, I've got to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And then when you're faced with a pandemic and, you know, mortality, you know, you tend to shift your thinking, and something as, you know, catastrophic as a pandemic, it should change your mindset of thinking of what's important and what's not important. So, you know, I think this has been a really great topic, and I really enjoyed talking to you guys, because if people don't talk about this kind of stuff, right? We talk about all of the predictable things, but, you know, it is important to think about what we like to do and to carry that on. And, you know, on the flip side of that, if you see somebody doing something that they love, acknowledge that as well. So I know you guys talk, like, as friends, you know, you guys probably talk about this all the time, you know, like, oh, Faith, I know you like to do that. Shaz, I know you like to do that. I know you don't like to do that. You know, it's just good to have somebody to bounce ideas off of.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah. And you're right. People don't talk about these things. And also, sometimes they're just caught up in the rat race and they don't even have time to breathe. People take time to breathe. You know, it's important, because, you know, you just realize how much you're missing. Even just hearing the birds, you know, I remember I was walking with this friend of mine and she didn't even hear the birds. She said, what birds? I said, hold on, listen to them. She started laughing.
They're really beautiful.
Laughing, you know, and that's just simple things. But I understand, because you're tuned, your mind and your body's tuned into something different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or your mind is preoccupied with planning the week.
Yeah.
Periodically it will cross my mind if I see like a bird flying around or a squirrel doing something or a dog or whatever. And you're like, they have no idea the chaos on this planet, right? They have no idea about the weird politics and neighborhood stuff or economy, you know, any of that stuff. They're just like, I'm doing what I'm doing and I'm enjoying it. And you know, this, it's just an interesting mindset because they are truly in the moment.
They are. And the best are the cats, you know. In my neighborhood, there are a couple of cats and they walk like they're unbothered, you know. Yeah. I love the cats. I said, look at this. They are, and you know, sometimes they stop, they pose and they look at you like, how you doing? And then they just turn around and swirl away like unbothered.
Yeah.
I just giggle. I'm like, look at you.
That's yeah, so I love funny. Cats.
Yeah.
They're I so do too. Cool. I love all animals. I realize, you know, we were talking about checking in on each other, and I think it was last week, so a couple weeks ago, the episodes, and you know, now that I've been working at home, there are so many people that stop by with their dogs, you know, for just like a visit, and the, you know, the dogs are just so happy, and I'm like, they have no idea that, you know, COVID's going on, and people are stressed out, they're just like, this is great. Yeah, to be a cat and a dog in this world would be a pretty darn good thing.
Yeah, and the birds, they don't have to go through TSA, right? They just fly to the border.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, sometimes
no
you do actually think no that you,
they don't need a passport.
Yeah, and I just think sometimes it could be much more fun to be. I'm sometimes when I lay, you know, take a tent or something, I can just feel like, you know, when I see the birds, like sometimes they're like a group or something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, I wish sometimes I was a bird or something. Yeah, because like, you know, you don't have to think about anything. They just feel so like peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they
and maybe
nap and
they
fly
also
and
have
eat.
Their issue, but yeah, it's probably with food or, you know,
No, they get free food all the time.
Yeah,
they come
do.
In, they hear all this eating stuff. Just like,
yeah,
okay.
It sounds it's like true. You guys are like surrounded by a thousand birds. It's really pretty.
Yeah, they're just, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're amazing.
But one thing you need to know, Penny, is that Denmark is very green, like during the summertime, like during this this time. It is actually very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You're right.
That's a lot of people don't really think about it because they think Denmark is like, you know, up in Scandinavia, but actually it's very green. If you haven't been to Scandinavia before, you'll be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
You mean
if I were a bird, I'd fly there. It is my homeland. I need to go there someday.
Yeah. I mean,
are you from Sweden or what?
Melkvist.
Norwegian.
Melkvist, yeah. Norwegian.
Oh, Norwegian.
Yeah, I think my dad's 100%, I think, or 98.
Have you
or whatever.
Been to Norway?
Wow. No, I have not.
Oh my God, you should. I heard like my sister's husband, he actually lived in Norway before he even moved to Sweden or Denmark. And he says, of course, it's very cold, but he says it's amazing nature. It's very, very beautiful. Mehdi.
I bet. I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so we're at the part of any last words. You guys want to take 1 minute each and kind of give us your last words?
No, for me, I loved every bit of this topic. I think it was really, really good. And I really recommend people just try it out and don't look for perfection. Just look to enjoy the moment. That's it.
Yeah. And I would also say again that, you know, I mean, I like what we had, I mean, what we talked about today, because like you mentioned earlier that, it's not something that, you know, people will talk about or they would say it or admit, or they will be honest to themselves. So I think it was really good. And I also, again, say that we always talk from our own experience. So, yeah. And I think you should do what you love. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. I agree with both of you. It is important to have that balance, like we talked about, to do what you love and to not live to work, but work to live. And the more that you can shift that scale, if you imagine things that you don't like and things that you do like, the more you can tilt that scale in the direction of things that you do like, the happier you're going to be physically, mentally, you're going to be a better partner, you're going to be a better colleague, all of these things, you're going to live longer. So yeah, it's a challenge for all of you. And this has been a great show. I could talk to you guys forever.
I know, we could talk forever for real.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe someday all three of us will be in the same room together.
We will.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Sooner
than later. Yeah. Exactly. That would be so much fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Well, have a great week. And everyone
and
listening.
You too. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, have a great week.
And tune in for our next show. It has yet to be revealed what we're going to be talking about. but I guarantee you it's going to be very interesting. So have a great week, everybody. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.